Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, director Justin Golding discusses his new film, The Gods of Circumstance, coming up next on Movie Geeks United. Welcome to Movie Geeks United. The Gods of Circumstance is a new film starring John Schneider as a down-on-his-luck construction worker who reconnects with an old flame following a failed business venture, only to find the road to a happier future is paved with unforeseen danger in the form of a jealous ex-husband. It premiered as the opening night film of the British Film Festival in L.A., and we had a chance to speak to the director of the film, Mr. Justin Golding.
I'm from Wales, which is Britain.
Right.
You probably know, with Scotland and England, so I'm Welsh.
Okay. And what movies, when did movies start to inspire you, and what were those early movies for you?
Well, for me, I mean, just as a young boy, I remember going to the movie theaters, and it, as it still is, it's predominated by American films, the great westerns, and, you know, things like The French Connection, you know, those action adventure-type movies. And I'm thinking, I remember seeing the Three Musketeers. That was the one that, you know, I must have been, like, I don't know, 6, 7. And watching The Three Musketeers and just thinking how amazing it all is. But I grew up in a small town in Wales, an industrial town. So, you know, when you went to the career counselor, filmmaking was not on the list.
Right. But there were opportunities in the theatrical realm as an actor, right? That's what you delved into?
Yeah, it is. Actually, from where I'm from, Port Talbot, there's this crazy, I mean, I have to say, there's, I don't know, the population is about 15,000 people. We have this record of amazing actors coming out of there. There is Richard Burton, Anthony Hopkins, and now there's Michael Sheen. And
that's a great track record.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yes, that's very astonishing.
Yes.
So you had extensive theater experience. Well, tell me about when did you know that you wanted to try your hand at acting?
Well, I guess when I discovered that's where all the girls were, I guess.
We hear that a lot. You know, we do hear that. In the 2 years we've been doing this, I do get that answer a lot.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, I basically grew up. I grew up with two. I got two older brothers, and we played every sport, and I still love sports. But then I ended up as my what you would call the homeroom teacher was the English teacher, which he also did the drama program, and his name was Mr. Tucker. And I guess as a punishment, he said, "Golding, you're in the play. I need a boy." I'm like. Doing that, I'm playing rugby, I'm playing all these other sports. And he's like, nope, you're doing it. And I went there, and you know, I think most people talk about it. The first time on stage, that the feeling of huge terror, but also that exhilaration of, you know, that audience. It's an amazing immediate feedback of that at the end of the day when they stand up and clap. It's like, wow, that feels good.
Right.
And that, from there, I was hooked. And as you said, where I grew up, there's this huge theatrical pedigree and also network. I mean, I immediately went to something called the West Glamorgan Youth Theatre, which is a regional theatre company, which was taken very seriously. And then from there, I got my chance to go up to London because I auditioned and went to the National Youth Theatre of Great Britain, which was held through national auditions. And I got my first taste of London and the, you know, the National Theatre.
Wow. Tell me, as a director now, and I know that you've directed stage as well. But as a director, how has that experience of being an actor benefited you?
It's everything. I mean, in some ways, in that creative realm of the character development, I think Billy Wilder, a very successful and famous American director, said that if you cast it right, the film will be right. And it's true. It's really true. What it allows me to do is, when casting, to find the right people, but also to work with the actors. I know the shorthand of what,
right.
you know, of the dialogue between actors to get them to a place where they need to be. And it doesn't matter how great the camera angle is, doesn't matter how beautiful the lighting is, doesn't matter how, you know, wonderful all those aspects are, the performance isn't that.
It
just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the major cornerstones. So, yeah, I think that the fact that I came trained as an actor and know what it means to perform, and in fact, in the short film that is prior to the my feature film, which I directed, I'm the lead actor in that short film. So
there
you go.
It's your night, man. You're the star of the evening.
It's all about me.
That's good. That's great. But when you, I know you directed television as well, but and then you went into films. What was that learning curve? What surprised you the most when you went into film, or were you prepared? Did you find that curve that you went through, you were ready for it?
Well, I actually acted in TV, but I have not directed TV. I mean, I've done some TV pilots now, but actually the first thing I did was film. I went from the theater, directing theater, to directing feature films, and the answer was no, I wasn't ready. but I learned fast. so it's completely different. I mean, it's kind of like left brain, right brain with
mm-hmm.
film. You have
mm-hmm.
to have, you know, the creative side, which is very important, but then you have to have the scientific technical side. You truly have to understand the cameras and the lighting and the lenses editing points are, you know, the editing process. Because with a theatrical production, and even with TV in some ways, you have a piece of work, you start at the beginning and you work towards the end. Whereas in film, you take a script and you break it into a million pieces.
Right.
And you shoot those million pieces, and then you glue it all back together in the editing room.
Mm.
So that's the difference, and you have to understand what you're going to use and what you're not going to use. I think because in some ways they talk about edit points and coverage.
Right.
Everybody talks about the master shot, but the truth of my point is a master shot takes so much time to set up, all the lighting, all the rest, just the large, wide open shot, but it's the shot you use the least. So
right.
it's a matter of learning how to wisely use your time as well. Whereas theater is all one big master shot, really.
Right. You know, and that's probably what we hear most. Of course, every filmmaker would like more money, but particularly on an independent film, and
mm-hmm.
it goes hand in hand with money, I think the biggest luxury would be time.
Mm-hmm.
And you never have enough time, do you?
No, you don't. And I think that's why with this film, The Gods of Circumstance is my third feature film. I did my first film was what I call a student feature film, which
mm-hmm.
I learned on. Then my last film, which has also got God in the title, God House,
mm-hmm.
which had a limited theatrical release and everything. Really a huge learning curve and really did well with that. But this one, for the first time, I would say, I walked on set and my mind worked as a film director. I knew what I wanted, how to get it, and officially
mm-hmm.
got everything I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because time, you're right, is essentially you never have enough, and you have to get it, and you have to make these kind of decisions. You look at your shot, and you have to make the decision. You prioritize. What is the most important? What must I absolutely get? And if I have to, you know, if I'm running out of time, what can I do as a one shot? What can I do with the least amount of coverage? How can I capture these shots without losing the story, but maintaining the integrity and the quality of the piece.
Right.
You know, you've got to be asking yourself these questions because you have this mini army that you have to launch in certain directions. And if you give them wrong decisions or misdirect them, you can lose so much time, you know, turning the momentum around and moving them in another direction. So,
sure.
I guess I'm a big chess player. I guess the thing is, you have to be 3 to 5 moves ahead of the army.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And how did this material come to you, the Gods of Circumstance? How'd you find it?
Well, producer Daniel Solinger, who produced my last film, gave me a call. And sent me the material. It happened very fast, actually. I guess they things weren't going well, and they felt they needed the producers felt they needed to make a change. So Daniel had worked with me before, gave me a call, said, you know, could you get out to LA quickly? And I said, how quickly? He said, like, today. I said, sure. He emailed me the script. I read the script on the plane as I flew out. I got off the plane, I think it was a Saturday morning. I drove directly from LAX to the farmer's market, you know, on 4th Street there.
Yes,
right. I know that.
Yeah, you know that area?
Yes,
and,
I do.
And met with all the producers, all three of them, told them what I thought of the script, how I would shoot it, what I thought of it, what type of film it was. That night they called me and said, you got the job. Start Monday.
Wow.
I need to ask you, what about the material attracted you? What was it about the story that attracted you to it?
Well, growing up on a small island, Britain has a big history, but
right,
very little land.
Yeah.
The Westerns always captivated me. So with this story, the fact that this was kind of very much a modern American tale of a man down in his luck, but hasn't quit, and he gets in his truck. You know, before he used to be the horse, but now it's the truck. Gets in that truck, and he's like, I'm going to change my fortunes. I'm going to get on the road, and I'm going to change my fortunes, which is a very American story. And
it's a very current story, too. I mean, it's what a lot of people are going through right now. Everyone's down on their luck, it seems. So this is a very timely story.
It is, which is very fortunate because, as you know, films take so long to make.
Right.
You know, when we started shooting this, I mean, things were flying. There wasn't even the whisper of the word recession.
Right.
But this film's all about that. That's in a sense what the Gods of Circumstance is about. It's basically all the things you can't control in life. Like many people have lost their jobs, it's not because they were doing a bad job. It's because some corporate moron.
Or someone was embezzling, you know, took everyone for a ride. So, yeah.
Exactly. All these, you know, that top 0.1% who screwed it up for everybody.
Exactly.
And it's come and crushed everybody. It's kind of like that, the Gods of Circumstance. It's like all of the crap that lands on you, well, what are you going to do now? But it's the American way, which I love, because the main character, Mick, you know, he loses his construction business, basically, you know, just as, and this was based on, the writer based this on the 87 real estate crash. So, but it's, you know, it's a modern day story, but that's kind of where he got his inspiration from. But now it's very relevant for today, of course, the real estate crash of today. And it's about, what do? Do you just take it? Do you just, you know, curl up into a ball and weep like a baby? Or do you get up, get moving, and just do something? And this is what my character does. That's what Mick, that's played by John Schneider.
Right.
He's one of those guys. He's not a hero. He's a blue collar guy who's just like, just give me a chance to live my, and I'll work my off. You know.
Right.
And John Schneider embodies that. He doesn't have to open up his mouth and say a word. You know that character when you first see him on screen. And I'm wondering the experience of working with him.
John was great. He was so gracious. I mean, you know, he's been in this business. He's seen it all. You know what I mean?
Yes, he has. That's very true.
Yeah. So, you know, he turns up in the set and, you know, he has me. And he's like, what's this Brit doing here, you know? I'm doing this very American story. But, you know, we sat down, we discussed it. We got very much on the same page straight away. And It's a joy. The last film I did, I worked with a whole bunch of children, which was a great experience as well as adults. But it was
right.
so nice just to work with John, who was a pro, because he just – you turn the camera on him, you have a brief discussion about, okay, what this scene's about, what's happening, and boom. He as he said, he just is the embodiment. The casting was perfect, basically, for this.
Yeah.
You know, because he gets, you know, in the story, he gets the crap beaten into him, you know, girlfriends leave him, ex-wives are having a tough time with him, and all this stuff, he loses his business, but you know what, he gets up the next day and keeps moving, you know, he doesn't quit, you know, and so working with John was a joy.
Yeah, when you look at it now, does anything about it surprise you? You've lived with it for so long, and nurtured every frame of it. When you look at the whole thing, what surprises you about it?
Well, I guess what's startling to me, because it's the first time it's ever happened, and maybe it'll never happen again, is how relevant it is to this moment in time. It's a story about one man and one woman, but really it's about the story of millions and millions of people in this country right now. And when we set out to do it, that was not what we thought we were doing. I mean, there were still good times in America. Now it's almost a small snapshot
yeah.
of America in 2009, in the recession, and people losing their businesses, losing their homes, losing their cities, losing the retirement funds, and so in that way, after living with the story, and it was funny, as I was editing and going through the process, as you know, putting the film together, I mean, I'd be turning on the news going, oh, my God, it's like we just pulled it from the Daily News, this story.
Right. And with the premiere tomorrow
mm-hmm.
night, and when this airs, it'll be tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Are you nervous? Are you anxious?
Yes.
You're feeling everything, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm proud of it. It's going to have its moment where it's going to be seen by people for the first time. And of course, you want everybody to love it. You know, you want everybody to enjoy it. And I guess you worry about what you've missed or what you worry about all the things that you can't do anything about.
Yeah.
But you know, but that's why you do it, really. I mean, it's. I think the art is all about that moment in time when you got to be brave when you do this type of work, because you put your heart and soul into something, and then you go, what do you think?
It can be nerve wracking, I'm sure.
Oh yes, exactly, and you know, because you want everybody to go, oh, it's great, but that's not always the case.
Do you have anything upcoming, any dream project on the horizon?
I do. Basically, I'm very fortunate. I'm attached to direct a couple more features right now, one of which I wrote is a comedy called The Devil's Bride. And basically, it's the story about that. It's all about a guy who got locked up in an insane asylum for 15 years. Because the devil killed all his friends, but nobody believed him. They thought he killed them. So he spent 15 years getting ready to go out and kick the devil's butt, basically.
Oh, that's great, man.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah, I definitely want to see that one.
Yeah.
Justin, I wish you the best of luck, man. Best of luck tomorrow night.
Yes. Good luck
and,
tomorrow.
And let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, man. And I really appreciate the time. And thanks, Jamie and Jerry. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.